So our text for this evening's meditation is from Isaiah chapter 26, these words, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last Wednesday evening, Thanksgiving Eve, I noted how we are to be thankful. Thankful that we can live a peaceful and quiet life. Indeed, we're to pray. We're to pray for such a peaceful and quiet life, doing so especially by praying for those in authority over us to create and maintain such peace, not only in our town or our city, but our state, our country, and in all the countries of the world. Why? Well, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ, can have free course throughout the world. Preachers proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the forgiveness of sin, wherever it is they find themselves within the world. So the creation of the Pax Romana, the peace throughout the Roman Empire during the first century, that allowed the spread of the gospel throughout the Mediterranean basin and beyond after the day of Pentecost we read about in Acts. It's not surprising that when much of the city of Rome would burn to the ground, just 30 years after the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus outside of Jerusalem, a small city on the far-flung eastern border of the Roman Empire, the gospel had already become so effective that the new Jewish sect of Christians, those who believed Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ of the Jews, they were blamed for that fire in Rome. It's because there was peace throughout the Roman Empire, that even without telephones, radios, televisions, bicycles, automobiles, trains, airplanes, let alone cell phones and the internet, that the gospel first proclaimed in the small towns around the Sea of Galilee and Judea, 1,500 miles away, had made such inroads into the million-person city of Rome. The effect of peace. The Pax Romana, outward peace, the need for outward peace, the need for our prayers for outward peace, political peace, world peace. But outward peace, you know, it's not primarily the peace which the proclamation of the gospel brings to us. Outward peace is not primarily what the gospel of Jesus brings to us. What the message of Jesus brings to us, what the pronouncement that our sins have been forgiven creates within us, what the Holy Spirit would establish and maintain within us, is an inner peace. So, our text from the prophet Isaiah. You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. What does that mean but that through faith, that is trust, through faith in our Lord and Savior, our minds, they're kept at peace. In fact, if we could have perfect faith, we would be constantly at peace in our minds, in our hearts, and in our souls. Here I think of the kinds of children you see sometimes with parents walking around the mall or at the store, in parking lots or restaurants. I'm thinking of those children who have complete trust in their parents. And so they follow along with them. They listen to them. They jump into the car when they're supposed to. They jump out of the car when they're supposed to. Perfectly content that where their parents are taking them, where their parents are leading them, where their parents are guiding them, is perfectly fine. They're at peace. But then there are those children, of course, that live apparently in perpetual fear, frightened repeatedly by the world, by the things of the world, even though they're standing right next to their parents, who are three times their size, and love them dearly. Memorable for me was walking down a street in Germany with our four children at that time, two in the stroller, two holding on to the stroller, and then suddenly one of the children holding on to the stroller, on my shoulders. I mean, in an instant, she had climbed me like a tree and was on my shoulders, clinging to my head for dear life. What had happened? Well, she had spotted a dog, a rather large dog, coming our direction, being walked on a leash by its owner, but she had a horrible fear of dogs. So she was not going to take any chances, and I was the nearest tree. You know, the angel told the shepherds on the night of the birth of our Savior that with the birth of our Savior, there was to be peace on earth. And with that peace, goodwill toward men. If we spend our time scrambling up trees because of fear, how can we live? We spend our time scrambling up trees or people out of fear. How can we live? How can we have goodwill toward our neighbors? Goodwill to the extent that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. You see, if we live in fear, what do? We assume a bunker mentality inside of us, putting up mental and emotional walls all around us, sequestering ourselves within ourselves, hiding not just from the dangers of the world, but from the world itself, from the people of the world, and even our friends and family. Why do we do that? Simple answer is that in our minds, in our hearts, we're not trusting perfectly our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not living by faith, but we're living by sight. But Pastor, if we pursue this inner peace, if we seek to live at peace and be at peace, we're not going to do the things we should do to protect ourselves from the dangers of this world. And if we do not do that, well, then we'll be hurt or harmed or even killed. So we can't do that. We must remain vigilant. And to remain vigilant, we must remain in a perpetual state of fear. That's what we do, isn't it? Driven by our old Adam, we look for solace, for peace, not in our Savior, but in our security system. Not in Jesus of Nazareth, but in the nightly news. Not in the Messiah, but in the money that we have in the bank. So what then, Pastor? Are we not to stay aware of the dangers of the world? Not to take precautions? Not to be smart? Well, of course we are. Of course we are. But there's a difference between being aware of danger and so doing what needs to be done to prevent and being driven by fear and causing ourselves to be withdrawn into ourselves. I think the first time I had a fire in our fireplace in our house in Blaine, you know, I'd never lived in a house with a fireplace before. Yes, we had that metal screen and we had the glass door, but how could I go to bed? How could I go to bed? How could I leave the fire in the fireplace unattended in our house? A fire! An actual fire. Not like I could take a garden hose and run it to the kitchen sink and douse the fire when we wanted to go to sleep. So I lay in bed awake that night, which rarely happens, and kept thinking, if just one little coal pops out onto our carpet, the whole house is going to go up in flames and we're all going to die. Solution. Never, ever, ever, ever use the fireplace again. Ever, never, ever. Or, Whenever we have a fire, just prepare to stay up all night tending it until every last spark has died out. Or use the fireplace, take all safety precautions, and trust that our Father in heaven is watching over us, even in such an inconsequential matter. But you know, we're confronted by a similar danger every time we get into our automobiles, aren't we? But there we simply trust ourselves, don't we? Thinking that we have the skill, the talent, forethought to avoid every possible danger. If we didn't think that way, we wouldn't drive. Forgotten, of course, is that we ourselves are driving only one of the thousands of cars on the road, and who knows what kind of drivers are in those cars. But we really want to go where we're going, so we ignore the danger, the extreme danger we face in driving our cars every single day. How fickle we are! How fickle. We live in fear of a fire in a perfectly good fireplace, but then get into a car without a second thought and hurl ourselves down the road at 70 miles an hour or faster amidst all sorts of other people doing exactly the same thing. So let's repent of our lack of faith, of allowing our old Adam to argue us out of peace, out of the perfect peace in our minds that is ours by placing our faith and hope and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certainly we are forgiven for this as well. For our lack of trust, the lack of trust that we demonstrate just like the disciples did when caught in a storm and waking up, Jesus asleep in the boat with them, cried out, "Help us, Lord, we're perishing." Just like Jesus was with the disciples in the boat that night in that storm, so is Jesus with us in our hearts. Every night throughout the storms of life, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, Jesus would say to us continually, to say to the storms in our lives, "Peace, be still." Troubling, of course, is then when we're not at peace, the only person we can think about is ourselves. The only life we can think about is ours, and the only world we can think of is our own little world. There's no way, if we're not at peace, that we can demonstrate goodwill to our neighbor. We've all had that experience, haven't we, of someone yelling at us, or not because we've done something wrong, but because they themselves, they're not at peace. They themselves are troubled and worried and downtrodden with the problems of life to the extent that all those around them are simply part of the greater problem, which is their life. You see, this is how the devil would have us as Christians live as well. That is, in constant fear and turmoil, lashing out at those around us, suspecting them of this, fearing them because of that. Because the devil knows that if he can keep our hearts in such turmoil, we certainly won't have goodwill towards our neighbor. We certainly will not serve them in love. And most certainly never share with them that which makes for peace. And that is a sure and certain knowledge that we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace which was established through His suffering and death, bringing to an end any hostilities against the sin that exists within us by our Father in heaven. Forgiveness of sin in Jesus brings them to an end. And what is more, creates a peace, the peace of Simeon, the prophet, who upon seeing the little baby Jesus in the temple could say, "Lord, let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the house of Israel." Well, we've also seen this salvation we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus. So let us, even now, this evening, simply remain in peace. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.